Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to You Know. I am your host, C. McCrandy. We meet every day, Eastern 1 p.m. Pacific, and discuss various topics having to do with Black people, places, and events. The show is not only for Black people or people of color, it is for all people. Because what we learn are facts that have taken place in our history. We place a lot of emphasis on history, understanding it, knowing it, learning it. And the reason for that is if we know what our history is, we can develop ways, strategies, means of avoiding those problems in the future. We have not done a good job of that because we have left out many important contributions. We've left out many horrors, and we don't come together as adults and talk about them. I cannot hold you responsible for what happened before you were born, before I was born, before any of us were here. And even if you are an ancestor of some of the people that we talk about and fear, because many white people walking around carrying a burden that they don't need to carry, because we have been discussion of history, and in the past we've talked about the Civil War, and we speak of it as if everybody either owned slaves or were slaves, that there was no one that disagreed with the majority opinion of the day. And we find that that is wrong because while we had underground railroads that had lots of Black people participating in it, there were also white people that participated in that. The aided in the escape of people from slave territories, sometimes countries, Canada, for example. But then there was even trials going into Mexico. Mexico did not believe in slavery. And we have all Black towns that start in Mexico. And we therefore carry a burden, many of us did. I was the person affected. My ancestry includes African Americans. I identify as African American. My family identifies as African American. We are African American. In that, because I didn't know any better, I thought every white person in America was a slaveholder or a descendant of a slaveholder. And that is completely wrong. It's not true. Because people had all manner of beliefs. There were strongholds of anti-slaves in the South, just as there were some bastions of slavery proponents in the North. It is not that way. What I do expect and hope that we will do in uncovering the history that is taking place is to, one, face it, and two, be able to discuss it so that we don't repeat it. We are in a period of time now where it affects everybody. And when it affects everybody, there are white people that are listening to the broadcast that have absolutely nothing to do with slavery. In many cases, they have a fear of the discussion for fear that every finger in the room is going to point at them being. But look at this. We have at most 6% of the people in America that own slaves. Less than 2% of those that owned slaves had large quantities of slavery, and they were responsible for half of the entire gross national product of the country. Yes, we had large slaveholders here.
What some people don't understand is that there were black slave owners as well. The motivation for most black slaveholders was different than white slaveholders. We don't talk about this. Why would a black person have a slave? Because you were protected if you owned a slave. Remember in 1850, there was a law that if you had a, if a black person was a fugitive, even if you did not believe in slavery, you had to help capture and return that person to its rightful owner. Black people, family members, and they did this as a form of protection. There were a few, such as April Ellison in South Carolina, who owned 60-plus slaves. But by and large, that was not the reason that they owned them. Those facts as well. And the reason that we do that, I started when I first learned about black history. I only wanted to look at the great successes. But it is impossible to talk about the great successes without talking about the negative slavery. Otherwise, it gives us a warped opinion of what it was, much as we have today. So we look at it from achievements, from the horrors of it. Last month, February, on a major focus on any of those at what people had to go through after the Civil War when we went through Reconstruction. The intent of Reconstruction was to allow people to function as citizens, all people to function as citizens. That included the right to vote and to own property, to be compensated for your labor. And we hear these things, and sometimes they sound very, very strange to our ear because we've never heard this before. Slaves worked, and they toiled, and many times we're talking about 16-plus hours a day when it was up in the most gruesome jobs that you can imagine, under the most horrific conditions that you can imagine. And yet and still, they weren't allowed to own land. It was only in some cases that they could even have their own food. And so we're talking about the myth that goes along with that, that they were happiest, slaves were happiest when they were in bondage because they didn't have to worry about the future. They didn't have to worry about their next meal. They didn't have to worry about food. That's a bunch of stuff, folks. They wanted and were willing to accept that responsibility, but just give them the freedom to determine what their life is, where they're going to go, what they can do. There are no limits on how high a person lies. If those limits are removed, you put those limits on them, and they don't go anywhere. You can't profit, and I'm speaking specifically to Caucasian or white people at this point. You can't take a benefit from the intellectual properties that people have if you don't allow them to exercise those freedoms just as you do. So in many cases, we have cut off our own nose to spite our face. We have done this. And so we're going to talk about some people. The first person I'm going to talk about is Belinda Sutton. And Belinda Sutton opens a unique window in the opportunity because Belinda came from Africa, and she worked for the royal family, R-O-Y-A-L-L. And that's significant, not the royal family, not Queen Elizabeth and those people. She worked for the royals, R-O-Y-A-L-L-S. They came to her, and they became very prosperous. And they have a connection to Harvard School of Law. They funded most of Harvard School of Law. They also owned Belinda Sutton. Now, when the owner would die, many times the slaves would be in their will saying, you go to my granddaughter, my grandson, my niece, my nephew, guy down the street, whatever, because they were chattel property. They were not human beings in the eyes of the law at that time. And so you could be willed away. You could be like Clara Brown. Her owner passed, and her husband was sold to one person. Her son was sold to someone else in a different part of the country. Her daughter was sold to a different person than she was. She only saw one of them later, and that was at the age of 80 years old. We are often told that it's okay to separate families like that because black people don't have emotions. Are you kidding me? When Clara Brown met her daughter at the age of 80, she was so overjoyed. They met on the train platform in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And they hugged each other so tightly they fell in the mud, but they were together. The rest of their life, they spent in contact with each other. And Clara had, for all these years, wanted to find her daughter. And when we look at what happened to Belinda Sutton, she was faithful to her. And at the time of his death, he left in his will that if she wanted to be free, she could be free. Now, what kind of question is that? You want to be free? She wanted to be free, and she elected that option. He also provided for her a financial stipend for 4 years after his death. But that was withheld, and it was only part of 1 year that was paid. Why is this significant? Because the money was plentiful, and it was used in the formation of Harvard School of Law. But Belinda Sutton did not receive the benefits she was entitled to under law. Now, it opens up a unique window because we find that many of our institutions are built on slavery. If you look at the post on AmazingBlackHistory.com, Belinda Sutton, I think you'll see 10 or 15 major corporations that benefited directly from slavery, benefited directly. Some of the banks and insurance companies benefited directly from slavery. Georgetown, I believe, sold 272 slaves down the river to finance that institution. Part of the problem that we see in such situations is that they did not mention it. They don't mention what happened. And so we end up with a skewed picture that basically says all the slaves did when they came over here was pick cotton. Pick cotton in the South. There were slaves in other places. And Belinda Sutton was one that did not get her due. Part of the money that she was due went to the formation of Harvard Law School. Harvard Law School is now recognizing that. They have a recognition program in the name of Belinda Sutton. She's not the only one. We talked about Georgetown. A recent revelation from Davidson College in North Carolina admits a direct slave link. Other institutions should do the same thing because they were there. We don't do it, and I'm not sure why. Maybe there would be sympathy for people being treated as inhumanely as they were. Maybe it will show the dependence of slavery in America. All of those are bad. They're bad. They're not good. They're not something that we're necessarily proud of. But unless we are willing to talk about them, unless we are willing to discuss them, we are destined to repeat them again. One, because we don't know about them. Two, because we dump responsibility in someone else's lap. And three, we are learning from something that is not true. We talk about building our church on a rock, something solid. And that should give us a clue that what we need to do is to understand the rock that this country is built on, lest it turn to sand and crumble away. And what are you going to do without a solid foundation? This is why it's important. Many of these stories are motivational. How can that be motivational? Not only for gender, but for race, religion, everything else. I have survived many, many decades and have been given only white men as heroes, only white men, not white women, not black men, not black women. It has been a very selective thing. And by doing that, we fail to challenge other people to do likewise. Yeah, we can find somebody to do that. But many people listening to my voice right now have not accepted the challenge, have not accepted the challenge of stepping up to what they can do. Now, before we go any further, I want to give you some information. I'll give it to you again during the program. Many of you are listening on your devices, and we love you for doing that because our motivation is to get the information out. But this is not a one-way conversation. You have an opportunity to make comments. You can disagree. We can discuss things that you're not clear about. It does not have to be limited to the 31 women because we have over 300 posts on our site. And we are increasing every week. We go to publication every Thursday. Every Thursday there is a new point of view on people, places, and events. And they're not just for a select few people. They're for all people. All people to recognize what has taken place. The horrors of slavery. And it was not confined to the South. Everywhere. In fact, within the next week or so, there's going to be a post on Vanport. And Vanport is a portmanteau of Vancouver, Washington, and Portland, Oregon. And we're going to look at what happened there when opportunities were open to black people in Oregon. And Oregon started its history as a white-only state. That was their intent. They even had a constitution that said you could be beaten every 6 months until you left the state. Did you know that? Did you realize that we have had states with that as part of their constitution? I believe it was Oregon and Arkansas. You could be subjected to capital punishment, and it didn't have to be a 12-0 verdict either. I think it allowed for 10-2 verdicts, and you could be executed, which means that they didn't convince everyone. But we set our foundations on things that we become hypocritical about. Anyway, as we talk about that, those of you that are listening, fantastic. But if you want to interact with us, sometime during the program, you need to call in. And the number to call in should be on the link that you use to get here. But it is 646-668-8217. I'll give you that again, and I'll repeat it during the show. Write it down because we do this show every week, same time, and you can use it anytime you're calling in to Crown Talking Drum programs. And that's 646, that's the area code, 646, the number itself being 668-8217. That allows you to show up on my dashboard. I can see you when we open the microphones. I can communicate directly with you. And we will do that. I don't have anybody on the dashboard now, but I know that we have many listeners on the other. I just cannot see you. That's the only advantage. When you call in on that number, you can listen just as you're doing now, but it gives you the opportunity to be recognized, to make your comments, ask your questions, make your suggestions as appropriate, because I don't want this to be a one-way conversation. So we've talked about Belinda Sutton. We've talked about other institutions such as Davidson College in North Carolina that admits a direct connection to slavery. This is different because many times we don't know what we're doing. I think Norfolk Southern and CSX, I think, are two railroads that benefited directly from slavery. Directly. And there is a list of some on that post. It's entitled Belinda Sutton, and it is on AmazingBlackHistory.com. Go there. Check us out every week. We have over 300 posts, and we're continuing to post. And we're doing this because we want this information out. We also look for suggestions. There are ways that you can contact us using the Contact Us form. To see all of the posts on there, click the blog list, B-L-O-G list, and it will take you to all of the lists that are currently on there. We go back to the American Revolutionary War, and in some cases beyond that, because we want to expand. We want people to understand that we came here with more than just our backs, strong backs, and dull minds. That's not who we are. That's not what we brought to this country. That's not what we did. There were many proud that came. South Carolina, for example, at one time prospered by the rice crop, R-I-C-E, rice. But it is not an Asian crop. They were growing rice in Africa. And the people that knew how to farm it were brought over specifically for that purpose. We brought many other foods with us. If you look at forensic food science, you'll see that people traveled around the world and they have taken foods from various places to various places. Much of the cooking that we have came from those people that were forced to make do with what they had. Belinda Sutton, keep that in mind. Take a look at that particular post and see what you learn there. That was day 31. We talk about day 30. And we look at an American-born woman by the name of Josephine Baker. And Josephine Baker was known around the world. She was respected. She lived in France. She was born in America. Remember, she was born in America. But to escape some of the racism, she moved to France. Many other expatriates moved to France and other parts of the world because they did not have to face the same discrimination that they faced here. I'm not going to tell you that one place was a utopia. Every place has some problems because we're still earthbound. And so there are problems that we're going to run into. But Josephine Baker spoke out against civil rights. That's something that America did not like. People speaking out for their rights. People speaking out for their rights, that sounds so horrible when we contrast it to what we say that we are. The land of liberty. Freedom and justice for all. Yeah, if you're white. But unless we know, and there are many people, I don't want to be accusatory I don't want you to accuse you of anything that you may not know. This is why we're educating here on this show. When I moved on my first professional job, it was an area in which black people were 3% of the population. So I went in as a professional worker. I was a chemist, and I worked with many people and had an often repeated phrase, "You're not like the rest of them." The rest of who? Well, they stuttered and stammered because they didn't know what to call me, because we have made to race such a taboo in this country that many times people don't know how to strike up a conversation about it. Well, black people, colored people, you people, you know, I'm no different than anybody else that I knew at that time. And so it was strange striking my ear that I'm not like everybody else. I was brought up under certain values and cultures and things that represented me, and I didn't think they were any different than anybody else. But people were given information about me, my race, a whole group of people that was wrong because we had grown up watching TV. Well, many of us didn't have TVs much before that time, but movies and jokes and everything else in this country were derogatory towards people of color. And so these people learned, and so we're still trying to get over that because a lot of people now are saying, well, black people didn't do anything worth knowing about. They did not do anything worth knowing about. Come on, give me a break. Take a look at what has happened. Josephine Baker lived in France and was much beloved by the people of France. She has now been buried, or her remains have been moved to, I believe, the Acropolis. I may have the building wrong, but she is in the same facility with Victor Hugo and other important French people are, because they revered Josephine Baker. Not so much in this country. Not so much here. But I want you to look at that story. She actually worked as a spy for the French. And we had other people that did so, but I'm speaking primarily and strictly of women today because I can give you some other examples of what has taken place, who we're talking about. And these are amazing people. We're going to talk about what we talked about on day 29. I'm going backwards because what we did was highlight 31 amazing black women. We have gone through parts of this list, parts of it, on other shows. This is not the end of it, and I don't want to limit today's show only to these things, to these people, but I do want to highlight them, because in so many cases, we have run roughshod over women, roughshod over all women. When women were fighting for suffrage, the right to vote, there were black women in that fight. And when we talk about black suffrage, there were white women in that fight. This has not been an all for one, one for all. I mean, it has been combined. And so there are a lot of people that have stood with each other. And this is what we need to learn. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. It took me a while to even be able to repeat that because I didn't understand it. But we have enemies in common. White males kept white women from voting. They also kept all blacks from voting. But the 15th Amendment, which passed during the time of the Civil War and gave black men the right to vote, did not give black women the right to vote. That's the reason that Abraham Lincoln was killed. When he gave them freedom, that was okay. When he gave them citizenship, that was okay. But when he said it was a right to vote, there was a conspiracy to murder Lincoln, Johnson, and the Secretary of State, the top three officials in the government. The only one that succeeded was Lincoln. And so we have Josephine Baker standing up for human rights. I want to mention another person that is vital to our study of civil rights, and that's a lady by the name of Rosa Young. Rosa J. Young. And she is an example of what you're willing to do if you follow your dreams. Many of these people did not have the formal education that we sometimes look at. And we make a giant mistake when we confuse education with intelligence. Education is going through formal study and getting those letters behind your name, BA, BS, MA, MS, PhD, and an assortment of other letters behind your name. I have some letters behind my name, but that is not what I call intelligence. It shows that you can buckle down and go through formal study and come out in an acceptable manner. But intelligence means going back to your basic strengths and working things out. Rosa Young, to sum up what she did, is I think she started like 30 different schools and 20 churches. Did you hear me? This is a lady born in Rosebud, Alabama, in 1890. Now, we have a person in our midst that has done this, and yet nobody knows about her. Nobody knows about her. Black people don't know about her. White people don't know about it. Nor do the Native Americans, the Asians, the other indigenous people here at the time. Don't know about it. Because history has gone to the point of being very selective in who they talk about. What we do is we look for those people, places, and events that have been overlooked by history, that deserve their time in the spotlight. They deserve it. If you had formed that many schools and that many churches, don't you think that you deserve at least a minute in honor? I think so. But if you go to Amazing Black History and look up Rosa Young, she was featured on day 29. We made sure that every day we talked about a different woman, a different woman. Let me tell you about Henrietta Wood, and this opens up another very unique door, a very unique window. Because Henrietta Wood was a slave, and many of the people that we talk about had at some point in time been slaves, but there were black people that were never enslaved, never enslaved. We don't hear about that either. We're beginning to see that the picture that we have formed in our mind is not a true picture. It's not something that I made up. It is something that is in our books, but why don't we know more about it? Because writers oftentimes have a love for writing, but they also have a love for living, and they have to write what people will buy. And when we go to our school board meetings and say, no, you cannot teach this or that or the other, it fades away. Is there something that we could have learned from it? Yes, but we are afraid to face the music. We are afraid to face the music. Henrietta Wood, W-O-O-D, not no S on it, was a slave and earned her freedom. When she earned her freedom, she lived as a free woman for many years. And during that time, her owners came up with a plot. They were in free territory on the other side of the Ohio River to get her to come across the river so that she could be captured and re-enslaved. Many people don't realize that people did not want people to see what free living looked like. If you were a slave in the South and were given your freedom, you had a year to get out of that state or you could be re-enslaved. All the people that you know are there, spouse, your children, your friends, everybody is there. But they were so enamored with getting you out. They didn't want people to see what freedom was like, that you had to get out of the state or give it all up. Give it up. And so when she came back across, they recaptured her and enslaved her. And this was perfectly legal under the laws, or so they determined. And she sued. And she got reparations for the time that she was re-enslaved. She was able to buy a house. She was able to put her son through college because redlining did not allow black people to profit from their homes if they were able to buy them, because the bank said, no, we're not going to loan money in that part of the town. There were many, many things that happened that we don't know about. People that don't know the hazards and difficulties of being enslaved. And so we have Henrietta Wood. Her son practiced law until his death at 95 years of age. How many other people would have done the same thing had they had the opportunity to do so? And she had the opportunity to buy a house and profit from its increase in value only because she was allowed to do so. But the other people that were robbed of the ability to do this, when we look at sharecropping, it sounds like a very fair thing to do. But when we see that you have deliberately kept people from learning to read, write, do mathematics, arithmetic, whatever, that you can beat them out of their hard-earned savings, what they have worked for, what they have, quote, slaved for. And this is what built this country. And yet and still now, if you want to even talk about it, sometimes you are vilified. Sometimes, most every time you do it, you're vilified. And we have high government officials say, no, we don't need to teach any of that. They ain't worth nothing. Nothing. And this is what we are faced with. If we don't stop and learn it now, when? And we're going to perpetuate this inequity. The reason that we even fought the Civil War, and there are many things that talk about states' rights. It wasn't about states' rights. It was about the right to own slaves. And I had people that owned my family, that owned my ancestors. William Henry Gist, the governor of South Carolina, signed the secession order taking South Carolina out of the United States and forming a separate country, a country that had a president and vice president, Constitution, everything that anybody else had. And then they want to tell you that it's some foolishness over something else. No, let's get back to facts, folks. Let's talk about these facts that we have and what we're talking about. So we look at Henrietta Wood. No S. Look her up. Look her up on my page. What I attempt to do every day or every post is to give you a summary, not just a summary, but I also try to give you videos that you can look at, books that can take you deeper into the subject. I want to start a fire within you You don't have to study every person in there. But there are people there that can inspire you further. If we talk about the law, we talk about Constance Baker Motley. And many people are not aware of her. She and Ketanji Brown Jackson shared the same birthday. Ketanji Brown Jackson is going to be one of our greatest associates on the Supreme Court. But Constance Baker Motley wrote the brief for Brown v. Board, which overturned what is arguably one of the worst decisions ever made by the United States Supreme Court, and that was in the Plessy v. Ferguson. But when we talk about it, while many people listening to my voice don't think that they have a position, I want you to look at it. It's arguably one of the worst cases ever decided by the Supreme Court. But yet and still now, there is an organization called Plessy and Ferguson, in which the descendants of Plessy and the descendants of Ferguson are working together to make sure that this never happens again. That's what I'm looking for. I don't care if you came from the most horrific slave owner, trader, whatever that we ever know about. I can't change that. You can't change that. But we can change what happens in the future. We can do that. We should do that so that our kids don't grow up in that mishmash of lies, foolishness. The only way that we can get to extract the best that our citizens have to offer is to allow for the success, allow for the competition to take place. Friendly fire is what we do. This is where we come in. This is what we are all about, folks. And this is why it is so important that we understand what's going on. This is what Amazing Black History is all about. It's not saying that one race is better than another, but it is saying we are as good as anyone else. Now, when we speak of this, I'm going to tell you about two people, and I'm going to show you why it's so important that we understand this. Many people have heard the name of Christy Copeland. Christy Copeland is a principal dancer in ballet, one of the most talented people in the game. She's black. She's the first to do what she has done, or so it seems. And Misty Copeland was doing some study, what she calls her bun head movement, where she is using her head to think about things. She was discouraged from dancing, as most people were discouraged from whatever they did. But they persisted because they knew who they were. And this is what's important, folks. Knowing who you are and what you can do. This is why history is important, because we see people from ages back who did things, and we said, if they can do it, we can do it. Misty Copeland did some study and found out that there was another black dancer that preceded her, and her name was Raven Wilkerson. Raven Wilkerson. Many of us don't know this name. But as she studied, Misty Copeland found out that she lived one block from Raven Wilkerson. They met each other. And Misty Copeland wanted to make sure that Raven Wilkerson saw her dance. She was not able to savor that moment. You know why? Because Raven Wilkerson, by Misty Copeland, they developed a relationship. They developed a fondness. Now, there are young listeners, at least I hope, and if you know any, please encourage them to listen, because that is the future of this country. Our youth are coming along. I am much older, And while I still have work to do, they have their life ahead of them. They have so much that they can provide us. So we have one of the greatest dancers ever. And she was inspired by somebody that she didn't even know about. But they developed this friendship because of that kinship. There are young people now listening to me that want to dance. They want to entertain. They want to express themselves and provide enjoyment, entertainment, and knowledge to other people. But they are not encouraged to do that. They're encouraged to do something else, to go to work for somebody. Not that going to work for somebody else is wrong, because I did it for 30 years or more. But it inspires us to be the best that we can be. It influences us to follow a passion that is inside of us. That's why we were put here. That's why the greatest creator in the universe placed us here on this planet, so we could pursue those dreams. And anybody that does not assist people in being the best that they can, in my opinion, are allowing them to be less than the best. We need the best, whether it's entertainment, whether it's cooking, whether it's in medicine or whatever. I look at the young kids today. Some of them don't even know how to act, but I realize that one day they may come up with a cure for Alzheimer's. They may come up with a cure for other things. When we look at Moderna, the person that led the fight for the COVID vaccine with Moderna was Kazmikia Corbett, who's now on the staff of Harvard Medical School. This is a young lady who dedicated her life to doing something. There are other people that can't. We have to realize that part of our function here is to encourage other people to greatness, as we would do for our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and on and on and on. And when we benefit from that, everybody gets to benefit. A rising tide floats all boats, and we need to understand that. We need to work together to do those things. Well, let me tell you about one of the horrors that we see. And I mean, most people don't know the horrors that somebody went through. I'm going to talk about a young lady by the name of Mary Turner. It's a shame that we don't know about it, although it is a brutal story. Brutal with a capital B. In fact, every letter is capital. Because it shows the type of hatred that can exist even in this country. Her husband, Hazel Turner, and don't get confused about the names, because as we look back at much of our history, there are names that are interchangeable. Francis, Charlotte used to be a man's name, and others. If you go to Prescott, Arizona, Charlotte is a name there that you'll find in the city center, because he played an important role in the formation of that city. But her husband was lynched. That means no trial, none of the other things that come with freedom and justice for all, fair trial, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And while she is terrified at what has taken place, Mary Turner says, I'm going to find out what happened here, and we will take care of this. They didn't like this. This mob, white mob, no, you don't get a trial. You don't get anything else. This young lady, because she said she was going to find out what happened to her husband, was lynched. She was lynched upside down, hung by her feet. doused with gasoline and oil and set a fire while she's still alive. Still alive. Can you imagine the terror, the horror that's going through her mind? I didn't mention the fact that she was almost 9 months pregnant. To show you the brutality of racism that has existed in the United States of America, somebody goes up to this woman who is being burned to death, cuts her abdomen open, and when the baby falls to the ground, stomps it to death. Now, these were events that were celebratory in the white community. Oftentimes, they brought men, women, and children to watch the spectacle. How can anybody take that type of brutality and survive? This is what many people had to put up with, but you don't know about it. And the reason that you don't know about it is because we don't speak about it. There are people that need to know these stories so that we don't repeat these stories. We don't repeat them, and sometimes later they may come back to bite us hard, bite us in vulnerable spots. But this is what we need to know. Mary Turner, that's a name that you should remember, not because it was good, but because we don't want that horror to come up. We don't want that horror. This is a woman, and we supposedly treat women with respect, kindness. No, it does not happen. It is not in our history. But we need to get back there because that is a good place to be. That is something that we want to know about. As we are changing from winter to spring, we have a black woman to thank for some of the confidence that we have in our home. We have a young lady that, hang on, let me get my point here. I think I missed one, but I'm not going to go back. I'll find it. But we have a young lady that's known around the world, and it's a tribute to black women. And this person's name is Nichelle Nichols. Nichelle Nichols. And she was Lieutenant Uhura on the Starship Enterprise on Star Trek. And she played this role. And what we sometimes don't realize is that when Gene Roddenberry pitched the story of Star Trek, and we still have Trekkies today, people that love and adore the show, they refused it. They refused the show. Why? Because you're showing a black woman in a role that's not a maid or a cook or some subservient position. They said, that is unacceptable. We can't have that on our air. And Gene said, why? So that's hundreds of years down the road. Well, how far? 300 years. That's why it's taking place in the 23rd century. Because this is what people were saying. It's going to be 200 more years before you can have any of that. It's been 400 years up to this point, and we got to wait two or three more hundred years? Ain't going to happen, folks. Ain't going to happen. But she was thinking of leaving the show and spoke with the Martin Luther King. And he said, no, you cannot leave because you are a role model for our children. That was the only show that his children could stay up and watch after bedtime because it portrayed something. We now have, they're planning on a woman and a person of color going to the moon. Not that we are not capable. We're as capable as anybody else. But we oftentimes overlook and don't want people to do that. We have been circumnavigating the globe since time immemorial. Columbus had notes that say, show that people in the Americas, and he never set foot in North America, were trading with Africans before he ever got here. We are not the dumb imbeciles that people portray us to be. Where are the pyramids? Not in Europe. They're in Africa. There are pyramids in America. They don't want you to know about that either. There are astronomical things that have taken place over the years where we're involved. When we talk about the Christ child and bringing gold, frankincense, and myrrh, do you realize that frankincense and myrrh were more valuable than gold? And the only place it grows is in Northern Africa? We need to be aware of a lot of things, folks, that we sometimes don't understand. We don't recognize. And, oh, what I was talking about earlier was the conference that we have is due to Alice Parker, Alice H. Parker, educated at Howard University. And she developed the gas furnace. Now, not only did she develop a gas furnace, but there was a forced air system that went with it that allowed us to cool large homes. Usually we had to have a stove or fireplace in every room. She changed that. This is why we're able to force air-conditioned air in the summer, heat in the winter control. She is the basis of that. Don't you think that needs a mention somewhere, that we need to talk about that? We are very, very comfortable not talking about it. But look at the people that we can influence and other areas as well. When we talk about Alexa Kennedy, for example, she was talked out of becoming a neurosurgeon. She's a black female. She was talked out of medicine, for one. She decided to go into it, and she went into neurosurgery, dealing with the brain and the nervous system. And she became a pediatric neurosurgeon, dealing with young kids, sometimes who have not fully developed. Great woman, great woman. Why would we want to stop anybody from pursuing knowledge in that area? Why? We don't. But we don't know what to do in order to continue on that road. We need to make sure that we provide education. We have people now that say you cannot teach anything that may embarrass a kid. But let me tell you something. The most embarrassed that I have been in education is I had a Bachelor of Science in Chemistry. I think that I know everything because I've gone through high school, I've gone through college, I've had history. And when I was in California, in Coloma, in El Dorado County, the site of Sutter's Mill, and find out that there were prosperous black families there in the 1840s, I felt cheated. I felt horrible because you've told me that you're giving me the information that I need, but you haven't given me nothing. You've given me nothing. That is what embarrassment is about. We can face our difficulties and we can solve those problems, but we have to do it on the level of an adult to an adult. This is not the time to be pointing fingers. Well, your great-grandfather owned this or that or the other. Yeah, it's over. Let's get together and do something about it. Okay, now we are adults. We've grown up. If we don't, we're kids playing in a sand pile, playing with sticks of dynamite. And they're going to come back and they're going to blow up on us. They will be devastating. So we're talking about another person that we should know. Now, we come to a person. Some of you may know the name if you're old enough. If you don't, you probably haven't, because our history books don't keep up, even with ancient facts. But I remember this lady's name, Diane Nash, And when they were, she was a behind-the-scenes worker in the area of civil rights. In the 50s and 60s, Diane Nash was a force to be reckoned with. We sometimes overlook people at our peril. And Diane Nash was such a person. And the title of this comes because one of the high-ranking officials, when told that this was being led by Diane Nash, said, "Who the hell is Diane Nash?" Did not know. But sometimes you need to know your enemies. Sometimes you need to know those people that you need to know, that you can reckon with, that you can deal with. This is why it's important to know these women. Have I spoken about any woman today that you would not be proud of if you were related to them, if you knew what they had done, if you knew that they had persevered? No. But we should know them. It's unfair to all women not to talk about these women. Because we have young girls. I have daughters. And when my daughter was coming along, I had to decide, do I want her to be outspoken, to be able to speak up for herself? Yes. Why? Because I don't want her to be run over. I want her to develop to the greatest that she can be. And this is what we should do for all of our children, not whether we are a birth parent or not, but just the fact of being human. And we see so many things coming out of not only this country, but other countries as well. We need to make utilization of all of the talent. But we are hopefully introducing you to people that you don't know, people that you should know. And so Diane Nash was that behind-the-scenes person that was responsible for many of the advances that took place in the 50s and 60s. We have a post on her, and I think she's day 23 of our 31. Yeah, we went through 31 women, and we did the same thing last year. And you can go back. I think there are links somewhere on the site to the women of last year. We do this in February. And this year we talked about lynchings and, well, not lynchings, but we talked about massacres and riots. And we don't realize what we did here in South Carolina in Hamburg. Black people wanted to vote. That's all they wanted to do was vote and be a part of the system. And over 100 were killed trying to vote. They finally put up a memorial to the 100 people that were killed. No, to the 3 white people that were killed killing the black folks. Is that right? Is that fair? Is that the way we want to be remembered throughout eternity? I hope that that's not the case. Let's talk about another person. We jump to the field of medicine in this case. Not a trained professional, but a woman who had some cells that have been extremely valuable in this country. Her cells have been the foundation of a billion-dollar industry. Billion! And yet she's received no credit, no financial remuneration, nothing. They got these cells, and they lived outside of her body. They could be cloned. They could be used in research. And one of the reasons that we have a polio vaccine is because these were the only cells that would live throughout the entire process. Her name is Henrietta Lacks. And the cells are HeLa. They take the first 2 letters of her first name, the first 2 letters of her last name, H-E-L-A, HeLa. You'll hear this referred to from time to time. But they never told the family. They did not get permission from her, as they would have from anybody else. And it shows that we just run roughshod. They run roughshod over people. Could have been a life-changing event for her offspring, for people related to her. But no, they could not have that. They had to perpetuate the stories of subservient, being in roles of maids and butlers and buffoons and other people anytime we were portrayed on radio, TV, what have you. This is why we got in this position in the first place. This is why. Let us be honest. Let us be true as we talk about our history. Be honest, be true, and let's work out solutions. There are people today that don't realize that under the definitions that white people have come up with, that some of them ain't white. Because we make it seem we set such ridiculously low standards. You talk about one drop of black blood and you are black. The average body has 94,000 drops of blood. And when we look, we often see people like Homer Plessy. One of his 8 great-grandparents was black. He didn't look black at all. In fact, they had to ask him if he were black, and he said yes. The case was there to show how stupid it was to have a ticket taker on a railroad classify people according to race. Frederick Douglass said, don't take the case. Do not take the case. It could blow up. What did it do? It blew up, and it came up with separate but equal. Now, we've always had separate, but we've never had equal. That's how it blew up. And it wasn't until Brown v. Board when Constance Baker Motley wrote the brief. Constance Baker Motley also integrated and led cases on the integration of University of Georgia, Mississippi, and Alabama. A powerful force in the world of law. And yet most of us don't know that name. It's a name that we should know because it can inspire people. Not just black people, but any people. Not just women, but any person. Because the spirit of humanity is what drives us forward. But we cannot do it if we're always pushing down on the tops of some people just to keep them from getting their due. We don't want to train people. We have an educational system that in the past has spent anywhere from 2 to 10 times as much on a white student as a black student. Benjamin Franklin believed that blacks were inferior until he went to school with his wife who was teaching at a black school. Benjamin Franklin came away saying they are as good or better than any other student anywhere. I want that to soak in. I want you to absorb that information. Now, as we are nearing the close of the show, let me give you that number again because I don't have any people on the dashboard at this time, but that number is 646-668-8217. Again, area code 646-668-8217. If you have comments, I'll wait around for another 5 minutes or so, and I'll talk during that period of time. But if you have comments, questions, suggestions, or what have you, call in that time, and if you're there, we'll talk to you. We'll see what you got to say. You may not agree with me. Hopefully, you will. But I want you to keep it clean, keep it professional. We have younger listeners, and this is not the time for rants and whatever because we are adults on this, and you can be cut off. But I trust and pray that we're all on the same page, that we're learning something, that we share this program with others. We share it because it is valuable information. You may find, and I've had people tell me that they disagreed with the information, and I'll try to look it up, try to rectify it, try to point out where there are differences that we may have, but this is how we make progress. We talk about it. We look at those things. So we talk about Henrietta Lacks. The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks is a movie, it's a book, and it's about that. And they tried to shut her out of history altogether. Just existing to some people is horrible. Now I want to talk about another person who actually was a nurse, and her name is Hazel Johnson, Hazel Brown Johnson, and she was the first black female general in the United States Army. She was a nurse, but as she started her nurse training, as so many people have been, it almost is a common theme. White people, counselors, other people say, no, you can't do that because nobody else has done it yet. Nobody else has done it yet. Does that mean that you can't do it? You may be willing to pay the price, and if you're willing to pay the price, you deserve the prize. We speak many times of just that. It's not that we can't do it. It's many times we don't have the opportunities. I became a chemist, but I did not have the concept of a chemical engineer because I hadn't run across that. I'd run across chemistry, and I thought I was fairly good at it, but I was never exposed to the other. We have people like we see Misty Copeland. She was inspired to dance. When we talk about, I can't remember the lady's name, but she was an ice skater. And she actually moved to Hollywood and taught some of the leading actors and actresses' children how to ice skate. But when she first went, they wouldn't even let her into the skating rink. Her persistence allowed them to let her in after they closed and the white people got out. And she, Mabel Fairbanks, that's her name, Mabel Fairbanks. Look her up. She is one of the people that we featured last year. Excellent dancer, excellent ice skater. But everybody says you can't do it. Now, when Hazel Brown Johnson wanted to go into nursing, she basically found the same thing. We push people down. We push people to the side. We dissuade people rather than giving them the opportunity to persist, to seek their own glory. When we look at the mighty oak tree and see that that came from a seed that had to fight its way out of the ground, and sometimes through concrete, sometimes through rock, it becomes stronger. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for the strongest. And she did that, and she pursued her way up to becoming the first black female general in the United States Army. The United States Army has a long history of racism. One of the posts that I want you to look up is the 6888. This was the all-black, all-female postal division. And they served overseas. They served in England, and they served in France. And America was so far behind in their mail that it was estimated that it was going to take them at the earliest 6 months to catch up with this battle, with the battle. Their slogan was, no mail, low morale. No mail, low morale. Imagine sending a package to Robert Smith. How many Robert Smiths do you think may be serving? And this was the problem. People would send over food, for example. The food had gone bad and was being eaten by rats and everything else. And these women were put in such deplorable conditions that in the winter they had to leave their coats and all of their winter gear on in order to work. But they did it. There's only a few of them left today. But the six Triple Eights made their mark. Along comes Hazel Brown Johnson, and she put an exclamation point on it. Do you want the best person in there or somebody that you can call the best? If I want to put somebody in there, I would want the best in there, the very best. And that's why we need to open the doors and opportunities. I'm going to talk about two other women real quick, and then we'll shut down. One of them is Mary Jackson, Mary W. Jackson. She was one of the hidden figures. You think that we saw the movie with Katherine Johnson. We saw, and some people, the significance of this may not have registered, but Katherine Johnson, they didn't even want her to know some of the information that was there. And she was able to unredact some of the information and come up with a solution. But we see in the movie the first thing her boss says is toss it in the trash can because it came from a black woman. And yet and still, when John Glenn went into space, he said, you can have all your fancy computers, but you have the girls, which is what many women were called in those days, check the numbers. If they check out, I'm going. If they don't, I'm not going. That's how important they were. And Mary Johnson taught black women to code. Now today, we have a whole bunch of our economy that's geared to coding, and yet we don't encourage women, black or white, oftentimes to go into coding. It puts us behind the eight ball, so to speak. The other person I want to mention is a lady by the name of, her last name is Murgatroyd. I forget her first name. But she is Navy's hidden figure. She saw a German submarine on tour that had been captured. Looked down the periscope and said, what do you need to do to operate that? And they said, be an engineer. But they didn't offer engineering classes to on the college level in Arkansas. Plotted out a way in which she could become one. She went to work for the Navy in Virginia, North Washington, somewhere in that neck of the woods. And in order to go to school to learn computer, she had to do it at night. She had to be on night shift. She did that. What it boils down to is that in order to design a ship, it was taking the white engineers, white male engineers, 2 years to come up with the concept. President, and I don't remember which one, said, no, that's too long. It's got to happen in 2 months. So what a crew of white engineers was taking 2 years had to be cut down to 2 months. Ultimately, it came down that she learned coding. She wrote her own code. And finally, that job was given to her, one black female, one black female. Now, remember, it had been taking 2 years for the white engineers to come up with something. Do you know how long it took her to design a ship once she pressed the button? 18 hours and 36 minutes. That's right, 18 hours and 36 minutes. It had been cut down. Why? Can you think of one reason, one legitimate reason, why we don't know about her? Just think of one. One. We can't. The program that you're listening to is Did You Know? I'm your host, John C. Abercrombie. We talk about events, people, and places that affect black life in America and around the world. We come to you every Sunday at 4 p.m. We're on for 90 minutes. But I want to thank each and every one of you that's listening in today. I ask that you share this site, share the information. Share the blog site, AmazingBlackHistory.com, because we need to get word out of what we have been able to do under these oppressive conditions. We need to make it easier, not harder, for us to participate in all that society has to offer, because we have an awful lot to offer society. We can do it, but not if we're at odds and fighting with each other. Let's look at each other as people. Let's understand that it's not what happened with your great-great-great-grandfather or somebody else. It's what's happening today. The greatest way for evil to take over is for good people not to speak out. Don't be one of those. Now, I don't care who, where, how you came about, but I do care what you do about it today. You can make a difference. Join us every Sunday, 4 p.m. Did You Know? We come to you on Blog Talk Radio, Crown Talking Drums. Check our archives. Listen to some of our past broadcasts. Look forward into the future. And remember, use that contact us on AmazingBlackHistory.com. All of you be blessed, my friends, be blessed. Let's share this site. Let's get the information out that's so important to the future of our country. This is John C. Abercrombie, and be blessed, my friends, be blessed.